But I'm glad to be here today, really honored to be here. I love this man, love his family, and I appreciate him more than what he knows. I've been in a ministry for a while, and when Pastor Scott came to our church several years back, I told him, I said, I don't think I've ever grown as close to someone in all my years in ministry as I did this young man when I met him. And we just have a kindred spirit about us. There was just something there. And we just became close friends. And my soul, that the conversations we had in his office and in my office could change the world, the knowledge that came through there. And we always said, could you imagine if we could put down what we're saying right now, we would be famous, you know, because we always knew the answers to everything talking in that office. And so we enjoyed our visits together. And he didn't realize today, I told him, I said, do you realize, Brother Scott, that I'm coming down to your church on that particular Saturday? You realize what Saturday that is of the year? That is opening day of bow hunting season in Ohio, where I live. I live across the river from Parkersburg in a place called Little Hocking, Ohio. And that's like a religious holiday out where I live. And Scott and I are both big bow hunters. We had that in common, too. We love to go out and kill innocent animals. And we enjoyed it. But I'm so glad to be with you here today. I'm not going to take much of your time, but I have something I want to share with you. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 7, please, and kind of keep your finger there. We're going to get into it. We're going to talk to you about something today that, you know, my years in the ministry, you know, I've heard a lot of things. I was a youth pastor for 20 years, and so I work with young people in my early days in my ministry. And it was something that I enjoyed and still love teenagers, particularly. I look around any church that I go in, when I look out and I see teenagers, I just have a heart for young people. But I've heard many stories over the years, and I've been around long enough now to where I see kids that I used to, you know, have in my youth group years ago, or grown and have children, have families. So you can kind of see how things have turned out and gone in their life. A lot of them, it's not over, those that have not gone so well. And that always happens, but it's never over till it's over. But I've been around long enough now to see things. And honestly, folks, I don't like being this way, but I've always kind of had this kind of prophet type of personality about me. I can, when I sit down and I talk to folks, or I can even sit back and watch some people or watch young people or people in their lives, and I go on, I can see where they're headed. I can see the path. I can see the direction that they're headed. And I see it so clearly, and especially with young people, don't see it as clearly as the adults. You have a knack, and of course, you know, if you're an adult here and you have children, and you find yourself start thinking more and more like your parents did when you were a kid, and you look at it and go, I'm just turning into my mother and father, because a lot of times you'll see young people now and go, boy, those young people, they just don't know. And that's a sign of getting old, by the way. But it's a sign of getting wiser in your life also. Because you have a tendency sometimes as parents and different people, as parents looking on your children, you have a totally different view of what your kids see. And that many times your kids aren't able to see it, and young people aren't able to see it. Not just young people, but adults in general. Sometimes people that are outside your life, they can watch your life kind of like some kind of aerial view of watching a chase scene. Have you ever seen those chase scenes on television where the police are chasing them and they've got, you know, a helicopter following? What's up with the helicopters? No, you can't get by with anything anymore. And these police chase scenes, and these guys think, I'm out of the woods now. I'm going to go down this way, and I'm out of the woods. And then there's this helicopter following them, okay? All that time he doesn't realize there's somebody following them, seeing it from a different perspective. Thinks he's in the clear, but he's not. But you can be watching these, and you can see a car heading toward an intersection, a big intersection. And I remember watching those going, oh, he doesn't see up ahead what we see up ahead. And he's going right into that intersection about 100 mile an hour, right through a four-lane intersection. But the people that are watching it on television, even live, they have these live things in these larger cities now, so they're watching these chase scenes live, and you can see what's going on. This guy's running, and he doesn't see what's up ahead, but we see it clearly. The exact same scenario, but someone can see it more clearly. And I've seen a lot of things through my years in the ministry. I've sat down with a lot of people and sat down, and it'll come to me. They usually don't come to me and say, "Brother Marty, I'd like to talk to you for a while. Things are just going great in my life, and I just want to share them with you." That would be awesome. But it doesn't happen all the time. Usually when they want to sit down to you, there's some kind of problem or difficulty in their life. And usually when I sit down and they tell me the story, and especially if I know them too, I can say, "You know, this doesn't surprise me." They look at me and go, "Brother Marty, how did I get here? How did I get here? This is not what I had on my calendar. This is not what I had written down where I wanted to end up. This is not who I wanted to be. This is far from what I wanted to be. How did I get here?" And then when they tell me the story, I can always, at the end, it's always 100% true. At the end, I go, "I can see exactly why you're here, because that is the road that you were on. That's the direction that you were headed. That's the path that you were on for your life. You ended up at the destination that you were headed for from everything that you did in your life." And it's not a surprise, because the bottom line is, folks, direction, 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 direction always determines your destination. Always does. Not your good intentions, not your good heart, not even your prayers, not coming to church, not being a good guy or a good gal. It's your path that you're on, the destination, the path that you're on and direction that you're headed always, always, always trumps your good intentions. And that's a heartbreaker, because I've seen a lot of people end up where they didn't want to end up. And the problem with it is that's the road that they were on. I remember when we were kids, up where I live, Interstate 77 runs just right through our town. And I remember when we were kids, about the only vacation I can really remember we had kids, we went and visited my aunt down in Florida from West Virginia. And back in those days, I wasn't used to going I hadn't been out of the block very long. But I remember getting in a car and traveling to Florida. And on the way down, some of you people might remember this, we had a thing called maps. Does anyone remember a map? Anybody ever had a map before? Remember those things? Oh my soul, what's up with that? I remember the maps that we had back then, and I'd never been around when we were kids. My dad bought a map like at a service station. We used to call them service stations, by the way. It's a place my son asked me, "What, Daddy, what? You kept saying we're going to stop at a service station. What's a service station?" That's when you used to stop and they used to serve you. Remember that? No, I'm too old. Okay, that's no one. No. But I remember my father would get these maps. We got this map going to Florida. And folks, this thing was huge. And I remember my mother sitting up there and getting this map in the front of the car. And that's my two brothers and us and three boys were in the back seat of this car. And got this thing out in the map. And they were trying to read this map. And then these things unfolded, kids. If you've never seen one before, they were a map and then unfolded, and it had all the routes on. You just had to figure out where you were, where you wanted to go. And no cell phones, but it was a map. And then you can never get it folded back to where it needs to be. So what'd you end up doing? You just end up wadding it up and throw it in the back, you know. And I remember Dad would put it, "Give the boys, now fold that up, boys. And fold it up to where the part that we want is on the outside, so we can get it to it and have a quicker reference." And I remember my brothers and I, we would fight over that thing. We got so frustrated. But it was a map. And in order to go to Florida, the main thing we had to do, we had to go out and get on Interstate 77 and go south. So we got all preparation. We got this suntan lotion and all that. We'd never seen the ocean before, any of that. We were prepared. Oh, my soul, my mother was so prepared for all that. We worked hard, had everything you could imagine set for this vacation, for this family to get in their five, to get in a car and head to Florida. And when we went out and we finally left, we were all loaded up. We had everything that we'd worked our heart on. We had planned on this trip for a year to end up going on this trip. And we went out and we got on Interstate 77, and then we turned left, and then we went north on Interstate 77. Now, here's what we realize. It doesn't take long to figure this out. no matter how much we'd plan for that trip, no matter what our intentions were, no matter how much we'd prayed about it and prepared and planned every little detail about this trip, and we were excited about it, and loaded up the car. There wasn't one thing we forgot. We had all of our maps. We went out and got on Interstate 77 and turned left and went north toward Cleveland. Now, we didn't take long. We just went up to the next exit when we realized that, you know. And so we got back and turned back around and went started heading south. But despite all of our good intentions, if we hadn't turned around, the Fullerton family would still be driving around, probably somewhere in the Antarctic. I don't know where we would be, but maybe circling around Maine or whatever. But we would still be looking for Florida no matter what happened, no matter how long we went in that direction. We would not end up where we wanted to be. And that's the same with our lives, folks. No matter what our good intentions are, no matter how much we pray about it, no matter how much we prepare in our life, our direction that we get on determines our destination. And I've seen that happen in so many lives. How'd we get here, Brother Marty? Well, by listening to your story, it sounded like the path that you took. I didn't want to be this. The path that you took is why you are where you are. And you made wrong turns, and you got on a direction, and you didn't end up where you were. In the book of Proverbs, there is a scenario here, and this is a very vivid picture about what I'm talking about, seeing things from two different perspectives. You know how I said earlier how sometimes as parents, you see things in your kids' life, you see things in people's lives, you can see it so clearly, and you love them because you have something called life experience behind you, has some wisdom. But many times, the people that you love, that you're looking at, they don't see it the same way. They see it in a total different picture. But many times, we're able to discern things better than they are. And it's the same thing that happened here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 7. And we're going to start down at verse 6. This is a picture that I want you to put in your mind. It was written by the wisest man that ever lived, and it's not your pastor, okay, despite he says that all the time. It's written by the wisest man ever lived, and his name was Solomon. And we don't know really if this has really happened, if this was a true, if this is an actual event that happened in his life, or he's just giving an illustration here. We don't really know. But he says he's looking out, he's up, and he's looking out his window, kind of looking down into a street. Imagine seeing yourself in some city somewhere, maybe in a hotel, looking down, you know, onto a street of people. And what he sees, and the event that he sees, is something completely different than the person that's actually experienced it. So let's just read some verses here, and we'll get into our message here. In verse 6, it says, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man," and look at this right here, "void of understanding." And that means a boy that lacks discernment. A young man that lacks experience. Not a bad kid, not a rebellious bad kid, not a troublemaker kid, but this was a kid who lacked experience. Now, I used to deal with this all the time when I was a youth pastor, because kids used to say these things. Anytime we'd ever have any kind of rules with young people, they'd say, "Well, Brother Martin, you don't trust us." And I went, "Right. It's exactly right, but that's not a slam to you. That's just a fact. You cannot get the thing that's going to give you to help you make wise decisions overnight. The fact that you're just young, you lack experience, so you lack discernment. You lack experience, so you lack this discernment. It's not a, and by the way, you know, they've proven now, I mean, there's actual studies that there's a lobe in our brain right here in the front of our frontal lobe that doesn't fully develop. It's in, especially in boys, till like, you know, in their mid-20s. Sometimes not until they're late, even to mid-30s. With me, I don't think it ever developed, you know, fully. I don't know. But there's a lobe that doesn't really fully develop. It's that lobe that has to do with discernment and decision making. So here's a young man walking to the situation. This was something that was planned. It was thought out. This was not just a kid going, you know, here I am and I've strayed too far. This was something that he'd made decisions ahead of time to be where he was and to do what he was doing. So that's what Solomon's looking at. And so he says, looking on verse 8, he said, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house. Now, you can imagine if you watch movies, one of the, you know, the things that to me that sets off, and I'm a music guy anyway, I love the music to movies, especially old movies. You ever watch a really old movie? They have like music playing through it the entire time. They would write scores of music just for every little scene years ago. And it was always there, even during the dialogue. And sometimes it helps the movie so much. But this particular thing has got two different soundtracks going on in this thing that's playing out here. What the young man sees is a young man hears something like "Born to Be Wild," or if you're back in the '60s, or "Party Like a Rock Star," or some kind of AC/DC type of song. You can hear that soundtrack. That's what this kid hears. That's what he hears, buddy. It's going to be an awesome night. It's going to be a wild night. It's going to be my night, and this is going to be one of the biggest nights of my life. But the man up in the window, the older gentleman that looks down, and he sees and he looks at young people. I tell you what, he's probably here. More likely, it's probably the soundtrack to Jaws. And it's a boom, 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 boom. And you can just see this happening. Oh, there he goes. He's watching it. He's seeing the scene. This kid's bopping down the street. It's going to be an awesome night. But it's amazing how both of these people, the same event, see it differently. Let's look on down and see what happens. He says, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with an entire of a harlot. And by the way, she wasn't, and we'll find out here in a second, she wasn't a harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face and said unto him, and now this is what I want you to listen to here. She says, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. And what that means right there is this was not a prostitute. This is not a woman of the night, so to speak. This is a religious lady that went to temple. And what she was talking about, she'd already been to temple and they'd sacrificed animals. And she had emptied, so to speak, her sin bucket and had her sins forgiven. And she'd done all that. Probably was in church and temple all the time. And so she said, I paid my vows. And I've made everything right. And I've got everything all clean with God right now. And we've sacrificed. And my plan is, and I'm all ready to fill that sin bucket back up with you. And oh my goodness, you can imagine this young man. This young man thinks, yeah, this is awesome. I'm special. She's planned this out, and he's known this. He's chosen to be there. He sees a completely different scenario and outcome of this. And let's go on with the story and see what happens. Verse 14, I have peace offerings with me. With this day I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet you. Therefore I came forth to meet thee. It's all about you. You're special. And can you imagine that young man? Really? Me? This is all for me? You're doing this for me? And it's all for you. He said, to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. And folks, this is not a unique thing. This is what sin will do in your life. And it'll make you think that this is something that you have in your life, that you are special and you're unique in these situations. But this is a well-traveled road. Matter of fact, this is a highway. She's done this many times. This is something that It was on her plans, and it makes you feel as though you were special. It makes you feel as though it's an emotional thing. And it's such an emotional thing that grabs a hold of your life. And when it makes you feel special, and it's personal, and it's emotional, and we grab a hold of those things, and then we lose all sight of reality in our life, the outcome of these things, whether it's relationally, whether it's financially in our life, whether it's in your dating life, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your finances, in your life, the choices that you make in your life. We're not talking just about young people here. This is a path and a road that we can get on in our life, and this road is a very emotional road. It's a road that stands out and offers something that's just right there for the time being. No thought about anything that's going to happen afterwards. It's just the path that I'm on right now, and this path is a treacherous path, but it always comes across emotional, and that's what grabs us. That's what gets its hooks in us. And it's hard to discern the truth when it comes to that. And she says in verse 16, I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works. This is just for you. With linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed and myrrh, with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home. My husband's not here. He's gone on a long journey. And a matter of fact, he's gone on a long journey. You don't even have to worry about getting up in the morning. This is all planned out. You're in good shape. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. You've got plenty, plenty of time. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. And with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And this next picture is just a rough picture. Is anybody here that's ever hunted before? You're a hunter at all? Anybody here that's hunted? Okay. Now, you know, Pastor Scott and I, we've hunted deer with bows. And I've done a lot of that through the years, about one of my hobbies. I used to grow up, before I was a Christian, I used to be like an anti-hunter. And then when I got saved, I just wanted to go out and kill animals. I don't know what happened with that. I always tell people, and my brothers were all big hunters, I said, how can you do that to an innocent animal? But one thing that I found out, what this picture scenario here is, if you ever hunt, bow hunters stand up in tree stands most of the time. You're in ground blinds. I hunt out of ground blinds now the older I get. You can't fall out of a ground blind. If I do, I'm in bad trouble if I do that. But most of the time you stand up in a tree stand, and then when a deer comes by, of course, you know, you draw your bow and shoot it. And my son's here, he's 15 years old, and one of the best illustrations I've got to talking to my son about life and nature and these things as you get older, as teenagers grow up, my wife would talk to my daughters, and my job is to talk to my son. And we have a thing we call passport through purity that we like to do with our kids. But one thing that I've also done with my son when they reach that age is I've used this through the years when we hunt together, and I always try to give illustrations about this through hunting. And one of the best illustrations ever is, if you're a hunter, then one of the biggest things, what you want to do is, you not only want to kill a buck. Back in Ohio, you're only allowed to kill one buck a year, period. That's it. I don't know what it is here in North Carolina, but you can only kill one buck. If you kill it opening day of bow season, that's the only buck you can kill all year with anything, muzzle loader or a shotgun or anything. It's done. So you're very picky, but we have very big deer in Ohio where I live. There's great big bucks there. And I've always told my son, the amazing thing about a big buck is, a big buck, you usually don't even see them most of the year. This time, like through the summer, they never probably go over 50 yards through the whole summer, 50 to 100 yards ever. If they have food and they have water, they'll stay. If they're big bucks, that means they're older bucks. They're more intelligent. They're more wary of men. They've learned things through experience through the years. They know where hunters usually are, and if they win somebody, they'll stay out. You won't even see them in daylight hours. Most people just see them from a long way off with a spotting scope, or if you put a trail camera out at night, because they're so smart. They're so smart. Never in broad daylight we ever see these deer back home. But they're there, and you get these pictures at night and go, how can they live around something like this? How can they live that way? Because they're so leery of people, and they've learned through things. But there's a time of the year in November that's called the rut, which is like a breeding season. And that's when the bucks start chasing the does. And folks, there's nothing more pitiful on the face of the earth than to watch this during hunting season. You will see a big, giant, magnificent buck in the middle of November or the 1st of November running through the woods in broad daylight. At home, we've seen them out in the parking lot of the mall in the middle of town, running around chasing like a little doe that might have been in a little pocket of trees, running across traffic in the middle of town where traffic lights are. This giant, magnificent buck running around that way. And people go, what in the world's happened? The fact is he's let his guard down. And something that he would never, ever, ever, if he'd even smell a human being, he wouldn't go anywhere near that. They can smell you for sometimes, you know, a couple miles away on a good windy day. They wouldn't go in that direction. They would stay very secluded. But that one time of the year, they let their guard down. And then this happened to me, and I've got deer on my wall that this has happened. And that buck has run by, and he has no idea that I'm just up 20 feet in the tree. And some of them I've killed within 5 and 10 yards with a bow and shot them during that time where they've let their guard down. And it's sad and it's great at the same time if you're a hunter. But there's nothing more pitiful than that. And that's kind of the picture that it has here. And it says here, he hath taken a bag of money with him and her husband's gone. And it says at verse 23, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. Look at these scenarios. And knoweth not it as that is for his life. You've got this all wrong. And this guy is trying to tell him, listen, this is something. This is going to be a downfall of your life and the direction where you're going. No. This is not like a dart in the liver. No, this is like, I'm like a celebrity right now. I'm partying on. This is something my life is going to be good for me. I don't see how you picture this. It's not like a bird in a snare. It's not something that's going to be bad. This is going to be awesome. But the outcome is something completely different. Two completely different scenarios that this older gentleman sees from the window, this younger person, and where they're headed in their life. And it says in verse 23, it says, hearken unto me. I want you to look at me now. He's saying to this, look at me. Now you hearken to me, now therefore, O ye children, and you tend the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline into her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. You're not unique. This is not special. This is not a unique situation. This happens all the time. This happens all the time in life. Many have been cast down, many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Many, 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 many. Many people have fallen into this trap that you think is unique. Many people have gone here and got their money and gambled in this particular situation. We have some folks back at our church, one man in particular, that used to have a real bad gambling problem. And he said, Marty, you wouldn't believe the things that you hear and the voices that you hear when you are addicted to gambling. The things that you hear, this could make it, this could change your life. This is a good thing. You might lose here and there, but this is a good thing in your life. And it just about destroyed him. And I've never been around someone that was addicted to gambling. And it was sad. But what the voices that he heard, the things that he saw, the scenario that he had in his mind was completely different than what reality was. But he was caught up in it. And he lost everything. Lost his family, lost his job, lost his home. This was a successful man. But on back was decisions that he made. It was a path that he was on. It was taking many times. How did I get here, Brother Marty? This is how you got here, because you look back in your life, it was the path that you're on. See, everyone in this room is on a path right now. You're somewhere on a road. You might have an intention. Your intention might be, I've heard people say, well, I want to have a family, and someday I'd like to have a family and a godly family. And I'd like to be like the patriarch of that family and have really godly grandkids that love me and all this stuff. Yeah, that's what I want, but you look back in your life, but you were never home. You chose to work all the time instead of being with your family. So why is it now, Brother Marty, my grandkids don't know me, don't want to be with me? Well, that just becomes because that was a path that you took a long time ago. That was decisions that you made a long time ago and a path that you were on. And you just ended up, you wanted to go to Florida, but you ended up in Cleveland. Who wants to end up in Cleveland? But you turned left on 77. And that's why you are where you are. You were on a path. Everybody's on a path. I've heard girls go, I want to have a godly husband someday. You know, and I want to have a boy that, again, carries his Bible to church and loves God and does all the things. It has a great, wonderful picture. They don't have to be pastors or full-time Christian workers, but I want a godly man. That's the kind of man. But I'm going to date every boy I know right now just if he's cute. You see, it's just a path. Why? How did I get up where I am today? How did I get where I am, Brother Marty? It didn't end up the way that I wanted it to be. And oh, folks, I've heard the stories. And I can look at her life because that's the path that you were on. That was the choice that you made. I wanted to be financially independent. I wanted to be a guy that grew up and didn't want to be any debt, and I wanted to have my house paid for by the time I was 35 years old and have all these, and that's wonderful things, but the path you took, but your whole life is the path of just getting caught up in credit card debt or this, or choosing to buy things that you can't pay for and you don't have the money for because you want them because you feel pressured around you to be like everybody else and have what everybody else wants. I want to have what my parents had, you know, or my friends had, you know, when they worked for 35 years. I want to have that by, you know, before I'm 25 years old. And there's been a path of debt their whole life, and they grow up and they're in bad shape, and they're, which leads to other things. It's just the path that they're on. This is what I wanted. This is what I planned for. This is my intentions. But this is where, how did I get here? Well, that's the road you were on. You can get on and turn left and you go north on 77 for a million years and you're never going to end up in Florida. Never, 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 never. And no matter what your intentions are, folks, I have no idea where you are in your life. But you might have intentions in your life and you think to yourself, let me ask you this question. Is the road that you're on right now, is the path that you're on right now, the direction you're going in your life right now going to lead you to where you want to go? Is it going to lead you to where you want to go? This young man, and I've seen this, I've seen good kids fall. I've seen good Christian kids, college Bible students. I've seen some of the best. I've been around for the years. I've seen pastors or full-time Christian workers. I've seen folks. It's never a thing that happens overnight. It's something that starts off with a path and a trail and a direction and choices that are made. This is what I want, but the choices in your making aren't the wise choices. Some of you here, some folks are fortunate enough in their life to have somebody in their life that might come up to them at times, and this is difficult to do. And you might know someone right now that's on a road and not a path and on a direction. And one of the most difficult things you can do, because you don't want to be judging. You don't want to be self-righteous, because none of us are perfect. But you might feel led sometime to go up and say, hey, listen, I want to tell you something. I've been watching, and I'm concerned about you. And every once in a while, I'm concerned about the trail you're on. I'm concerned about the direction that you're headed. And I love you. I really love you, and I care for you. And I know better, but I can see things from a different perspective than you can see things right now. You're seeing this, and you're seeing something completely different than what I'm seeing. I'm trying to help you. And I'm just trying to stand in front of you for a second and say, listen, I want you to think about it. And pray for this person. And there might be somebody that said that in your life every once in a while, and God will put people in our paths to do that. And that's a difficult thing to do, because most folks don't want to do that because they don't want to come across self-righteous. But I don't know what path you're on in your life. And we're not talking about just a young man going in the way of a woman of the night or a promiscuous lady. It's not about that so much as much it is it's a trail, it's a path, it's a direction that we all are on in this room. And I'm on one, my kids are on one, my kids are growing up now, and the path that they have, they've got a father. There's many things that I can tell my kids, this is what I see. This is what I see. And I have a tendency, and listen, you're a great kid, and I know you love the Lord, but I can see things a little clearer than you can. And the direction, where do you want to be? This is the direction I want to be. Is this path that you're on going to take you there? Because you can load up and you could pack in your car everything to go to Florida. All the surfboards, all the suntan lotion, all those useless little folding chairs that don't do, you know, you sit there at the edge of the water, you know, and they sink and you fall over backwards when the wave comes in. All these things that you pack in your car for Myrtle Beach or wherever you go around here, that's where we all go, is Myrtle Beach, from up where I live. And all those things you pack up and a great time, it's going to be such a wonderful time. You go out and your GPS lady says this is the direction you want to go and you turn to go the opposite direction. You're not going to get to Florida by going 77 north. You're not going to get to Florida by way of California. It's just not going to happen. But that's where many of us are. What path are you on this morning? And is the path that you're on going to take you to where you want to end up? Because 100% of the times, you will end up direction determines our destination. It trumps good intentions every time. And sometimes we think we'll be the one that'll beat it and change it, and it's never happened and it never will. Is the path that you're on going to lead you to where you want to go? Let's pray.